Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. Tom's just there, like, looking smug and, like, drinking.
I came back from Oasis.
Yeah, he's been at the Oasis, like he usually is on Sundays. He's been pre-gaming for the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still technically the weekend, so I'm still,
it was fun.
Like, yeah?
It was all right.
Did you have a good time?
Had a meth head want to fight me.
Why does this shit always happen to you?
I don't know, man. Fucking... That's funny.
Did you get up on the bar?
I realized all of a sudden the dude's calling me over. And I'm like, hold on, I'll be over there in a minute. And I had some other shit I had to do. And then I says, what's up, man? And he's like, what's up? I'm right here. What's up?
I was like, okay, but...
Oh, I get it. You want to fight. And he's an old dude, all fucking burned out. I says, I get it. You want to fight. And I said, how old are you? And he got a real unconscious about that. He got real self-conscious. And I said, look, man, you're nearly 6 feet tall, but I would fuck you up. He goes, well, come on and do it. And I says, there's no reason to. He says, you think I'm looking at you. I'm not looking at you. And he goes, no, I see you. You're looking at me. And I says, no, man, that's your imagination. And I go, and he goes, I don't have no imagination. And I busted
up. Well, that was a good answer.
I busted up laughing.
I don't have
and then
no
he started busting up laughing. And I noticed that when he started laughing, half his teeth were gone. And I said, it's that shit you're on. Making you paranoid. You think I'm watching you. I'm not watching you.
Everybody's
because you're
watching
not watching me. This is not.
You're like, that's the meth talking,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, it's that shit you're smoking. It makes you think I'm watching you. Goes, yeah, you might be right about that. And then he wanted to be friends.
Well, see, he learned something
today.
Yeah,
you might be right. He says, I'm not watching you.
Although he'll probably forget it by the time he goes home.
Yeah, so. He's fucked up. So I'm not watching you. It's in your imagination. I don't have no imagination.
Like I said, that was a pretty good answer.
Busting up laughing. I said, you know, and he started busting up. You don't have an imagination? He goes, no. And I said, I'm not watching.
All right, fair enough.
He thought I was watching him.
Yeah.
You're paranoia.
Like, yeah, sexy, I'm watching.
Yeah, I'm not watching you, dude.
I'm watching your sexy meth mouth.
Yeah, I'm not watching you. And he's like fucking way, 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 way back there. And he thinks I'm watching him. Fucking, he's looking at me.
Yeah.
Thinking that I'm watching him.
So, yeah. So, hey, everybody. Hey, Bethina said, Jenny, that blue wig is extremely attractive.
Everybody
well, thank you very
blue.
Much. Yeah, this is actually, like I said, I have, like, lots of different colored wigs. I have black ones and red ones and white ones and shit like that. But this is my favorite one.
I came up in here and I saw that blue wig. I was trying to get some of this. I says, I'm going to get some of this.
And then I was like.
And then she's like, nah, I ain't doing it.
No, I didn't say that.
And
I said,
like, no, like, I'm
I said,
because
I've had.
I'm going to fucking get in this shit right now. She's like, nah, I can't handle it. See,
that's not what I said.
That's how it is. Let me tell my story.
Okay.
That's my reality.
That's not true, though.
Okay.
I said, because I've had a stomach ache for the last couple days, and I said, he was like squeezing my stomach.
I fed
too
her little
tight.
Seeds. I fed her little seeds.
I don't know if that's what it was or not.
Not those seeds, some other seeds, some blackberry seeds.
But yeah, so that's kind of like indirectly.
Yeah.
Like, why? Because today we were actually supposed to talk about. The Untouchables, because Louis sent us The Untouchables, like the Steelbook.
Yeah.
But then last
time. We tried to play it.
Well, last time we went to watch it, and one, we couldn't, like, get the disc to work, so I don't know if it just, like, needs to be cleaned or if shit needs to be.
No, I'll investigate it more.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
It wasn't playing on the Xbox. I got to figure out, and there's only have one other Blu-ray that will not play on that Xbox, and it's The Descent.
That's right.
Remember that one? And it was a British version of The Descent. It won't play on it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that Steelbook won't play. I'm going to investigate more on it.
Yeah, so we might still be doing that movie. But then, in a way, it was kind of like better because I was kind of like, I was really feeling too good last night. Like, my stomach was kind of hurting. So.
Oh, yeah, that one would have been fucked up.
Totally so, right. Yeah, so, I mean, if I want to watch that, I want to, like, you know, give it my full attention and, like, it's longer and stuff like that. So Tom's like, why don't we just watch Jaws the Revenge because you've been, like, wanting me to watch that. It's on Tubi. And that one's kind of, like, short. It's fun. I've seen it a couple times before. And I said I don't have to concentrate too hard on it because I've seen it. And also, it's kind of like a stupid movie, but an entertaining stupid movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know that I saw Jaws the Revenge in the theater.
Damn.
In the theater. Not only that, I'm pretty sure I was watching another video of it before and they talked about how there was a novelization and the guy that was doing the video said he had read the novelization back in the 80s. I said, you know what? Now that you mention it, I think I might have too. I think I might have read the novelization of Jaws the Revenge.
What
the fuck was the matter with me?
I suggested it because Jenny said that it had Michael Caine in it.
Michael Caine.
And fucking, I'm a fan of Michael Caine. For some strange reason. Well, I like Michael Caine.
I don't think that's strange.
Michael Caine's a fucking...
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. And so... Michael Caine was in it, and I was thinking, well, it has a ocean theme. Maybe it'll be like the island or something. It might have some of that in it.
It is not like
that. No, it's not at all. It's not as dark as the island. This movie really tries hard to be a good movie. It's actually kind of well made in some ways. The acting is good. It's got a good cast. The score really wasn't notable. The edit was kind of ponderous in certain spots. It kind of slowed down.
And the action scenes were edited like really fucked up.
Yeah,
so you couldn't
tell what was going
on. Yeah, the action
scenes were not really edited that well. And the shark looks bad. All right, kind of bad.
Not as bad as the one in 3D, admittedly.
Right. Yeah,
but
I would say
bad.
It's not a terrible shark puppet, but they show too much of it. The editing fucking kind
of... Because, man, that bitch-ass shark is out of the water, like, all
the
time.
Yeah, and it does some weird
shit.
I
was like, get back in the water, shark. Yeah. What do you can't breathe up here.
Yeah. And it's got fucking...
Go home, shark. You're drunk.
It's got a decent... It's got the original cast from Shark... It's got a lot of the original cast from fucking Jaws 1.
No, not really.
It's
just,
got Brody's
just that
wife.
One. Just that one chick, though.
Is that it? Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Okay. Well, they fooled me into thinking that more of the people were still in
They acted like...
They acted like...
You know who us motherfuckers are.
Well, didn't
have
Brody's son in it.
Yeah.
And he gets killed, and then his wife, and... I want to say it's a weird mixture because it's not a terrible movie. It's really trying, okay? It's just that... No, it didn't recapture it. It's not Steven Spielberg.
Well,
that's one of the big problems.
Honestly, I think the main problem with this movie was not the acting. It wasn't the special effects. It wasn't anything like that. It was the premise. It was the idea. It's
There's a dumb idea.
It's just a dumb idea.
It's got...
There's too many like plot holes. And I'm willing to overlook certain plot holes... Like, if the movie's otherwise good. But this one, it just seemed like so many of the problems could have been avoided. And Oscar pointed out the same thing. Why can't the Brody family stay away from the damn water? Problem solved. That's what I said. Like, as soon as you had Jaws 1, and then you had Jaws 2, and then the shark was fucking with them again, I'm like, all right, we're packing up and we're moving to fucking Nebraska, or we're moving to somewhere where there's no fucking ocean, and we're never going in the water ever again. Easy. How's a shark going to get you then?
It's some weird shit. The woman has a psychic link with the... Brody's wife has a psychic link with the shark. She's having premonitions of when the shark's coming.
Yeah, she's like, oh, my shark sense is going to beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. So it's got a paranormal fucking... It's got some paranormal shit happening. I'm trying to think what else is fucking weird about it. Oh, there's the fakest Jamaican you could ever fucking imagine.
I guess he's supposed to be Bahamian. But, say, I mean, you know, kind of similar.
Whatever.
And it's supposed to be like, yeah, that's Mario Van Peebles. Yeah. He was actually in some good shit. Like, he was in New Jack City, right? I think he directed that.
You look at him and you go, man, I know that dude. That's a famous dude. Fucking, Van Peebles was his name. And
Van Peebles.
Yeah. He's doing what they told him to do. You can tell he's star material for far as an actor, but his accent isn't all that great. And I would have never fucking... It was a dumb idea to tell him to do that. They should have just had him play an African-American guy. There's no reason why he had to be...
That's what I mean, because everybody else that was living in the Bahamas, it's like, you know, Brody's son was, like, working down there. He was like... So I was like, why didn't they just make an American guy? Like, don't make him do...
Just like anybody else.
Yeah, or you know, they could have actually gotten a Bahamian actor to play that role. Like, they could have done two... They had two options there, and they didn't either.
It's like Day of the Dead. They had the one fake Jamaican underneath the ground. He would have... That character would have been so much cooler.
The Jamaican.
It's a Jamaican. He'd have been a lot cooler if he was just some dude from Detroit. That would have been a lot cooler.
That's what I mean. I don't really understand. Like, if you have a movie and it's not... central to the plot that person have a particular accent or be from a particular country,
Stupid.
Don't make them that. Just make them like whatever the actor is.
Yeah.
And if you have to like explain it away, like, oh, they're an exchange student or something like that, just it's a throwaway line. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and then you don't have the whole thing of like, here's somebody doing this cringeworthy accent that they don't need to do like through the whole entire movie.
Example. In The Thing, the two black dudes in The Thing, they didn't have to be from some exotic country. They were Americans. And fucking, you're just like, yeah, yeah, his shit was natural as shit. It was supernatural. It was supernatural.
Yeah, Murder Hornet said, is that the one with the Jamaican guy? Yeah. The Famaican Jamaican.
Don't, just because you got a black dude, don't make him a Jamaican in your fucking movie.
Well, like I said, it's
let him be who he is.
It's set in the Bahamas. And like I said, if you wanted that character to be from the Bahamas,
then get an
actor that's actually from the Bahamas. It can't be that hard. There are lots of people that live there, and I'm sure some of them are actors.
It was the thinking of the time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, it's like, well, we need somebody that's kind of... I don't know if, like, Mario Van Peebles, I don't know if he was super, super famous. Well, the thing about Mario Van Peebles...
He was in a lot of shit.
He was, but I don't remember if that was later. Like,
later.
I know it was...
90s.
I know it was, like, New Jack City and all that kind of stuff. I think that was 90s. Now, the thing about Mario Van Peebles, though, is that his dad is Melvin Van Peebles, who is actually, like, quite famous, like, in movies. So maybe that was that kind of thing. But yeah, so the only... The only, like, actor they got from the first one was Lorraine Gary. Now, they did ask Roy Scheider.
Yeah.
Now, he was in the second one. He was in the first one, obviously, and the second one. They asked him if he wanted to do Jaws 3D, and he said, like, absolutely not. Absolutely. And then they asked him to do this one, and he's like, absolutely not.
Hell no.
Now, what they were going to do initially, they asked him, they said, well, you don't have to be in it, but do you want to do a cameo in it, and then we'll have you get killed at the beginning? Because, actually, he was supposed to get killed instead of the son, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, absolutely not, I'm not doing it. So then they're like, okay, well, plan B, we're gonna have the son get killed, and then... Now, how many kids did the Brodies have in the first movie? Now I can't remember.
I don't even remember.
Because they have two sons, and the thing about part four, too, which is just called Jaws the Revenge, it's not called Jaws 4, but it doesn't have any continuity with the third movie.
Yeah.
Because in the third movie, the son works at SeaWorld, but he has, like, a different kind of job. But they're just, like, like pretending that that whole third movie didn't happen. So they're just, like,
going... I
would
pretend also that Jaws 3 didn't happen.
Yeah. She would, I guess, I can't blame him too much for that. Well, they're trying to, like...
That was, like, a fucking Jason movie. It was very much like a Jason in the water, and he's got fins.
Okay, I will argue that... Okay, 3D...
Yeah.
Jaws 3D, I would argue, is actually worse than this one. But at least that one had a good idea. I think that one's just like a good idea. Like a great white shark gets loose in like a water park. Great. That's a great idea. But they fucked it up. They tried to make it 3D. You know, the 3D looked atrocious and they just whiffed it.
Yeah.
This one, if this had been a good idea, this actually would have been a decent movie. This one, it's just, the script was just a stupid idea, and there's, like, really no way to make a good movie out of that unless you're making it a comedy. And this was absolutely not a comedy, and it was really serious, and they were almost trying to, like, harken back to the first movie and make it almost like a soap opera, and there was, like, all this character development, which actually mostly turns out to be kind of boring.
I don't remember 2 that well. Which one was 2?
I haven't seen 2 in a long time either. Now, 2 was okay. Like, 2 was pretty good.
Okay.
That had most of the cast, from what I remember. It's been years since I've seen it. But that had most of the cast from the original one. And, you know, obviously, it's straining credulity after a while, which, like, this one family gets, like, bothered by the shark. So it's almost kind of like when, you know, they got to the fourth movie, they're just like, fuck it, we're just going to say that this family is just, like, shark attractors. And I think in the original idea of this, which I'm not sure if this would have made it better or even dumber than it actually was that... The whole thing about the shark, like, targeting the Brody family specifically was that it was some kind of, like, voodoo curse. Yeah. How do we feel about that? Mm. I mean, at least it would have been some kind of explanation. In the movie, they don't give any explanation.
Yeah.
They're just basically, like, because. And it's, like, the shark that comes after them... We're led to believe, is this shark, like, was the other sharks that got blown up, like, in the first movie, was that, like, his mom? Or, like, this was just a shark that decided, I don't like these motherfuckers, and I'm going to swim all the way from New York
to the Bahamas. Let me go ahead and nip.
Which is, like, 1,200 miles.
Let me go ahead and nip all this in the bud before Jenny loses it. Here was the problem. You have to understand the zeitgeist of the day. In those days, you couldn't have a random shark movie. That genre had not been established yet. So if you're going to talk about a shark, it was going to have to be a Jaws movie. Boy, that really limits you. They should have never done that, but that was the thinking of the time. later on they realized, you know, we can just make movies about sharks.
I mean, sharks are inherently scary.
Right.
So.
It doesn't have to be a Jaws movie. But they hadn't thought of that at that time. Okay. Because there had been some good shark movies.
Yeah.
We saw them in the theater.
Open lot better water.
Than, lot better than this. The one where they were down the cenotes.
47 meters down.
And then like the sequel where they were in the cenotes. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That was a good
that
one.
That was
too.
All right.
That was okay.
There's one called The Reef, which is actually pretty good too. And like I said, Open Water is good, although that's only marginally about sharks. That's also about just being stranded out in the middle of the ocean and then there are sharks, and that's actually based on a true story, so I find that really horrifying.
They're kinda fucking themselves with this movie. They wanna make a shark movie. But they have imagined a limitation. They're imagining that it has to be a Jaws movie.
Well, there was a reason why. Because Jaws 3, even though it got shit on by critics, actually made quite a bit of money.
Right, you're right.
So, and also, Universal Studios was opening up their Jaws ride, and they wanted to promote it. So they said, we're going to make another Jaws movie.
I would have fucking fought
against it. And this actually was still financially successful, just because it was kind of cheap to make.
I would have fought against all that shit.
Well, yeah, but I
would have told the studio execs that what it is they don't really give a shit about the Jaws and the Jaws series or anything like that. What it is, they want shark movies. And you could beat Jaws 1 if you were freed from the Jaws franchise. You could have done it easily. Made some badass shark flicks. But they didn't think that way back then. I don't know why. They just weren't very creative. They were just, you know, companies. You know, corporate thinking. I would have, if I was an independent filmmaker, I'd have made a badass fucking shark movie. Kind of like the ones that you just mentioned. Was it something 40 meters down? Or
47 meters
47
down.
Meters down. I'd have come up with a premise
like I said,
like
The
that.
Reef.
The Reef.
Open Water.
Right. And you put enough money behind the promotion and you could beat Jaws. You don't need the Jaws title on it. And that's really what they're doing here. They actually spent money on this movie. But they should
not
just,
a lot, but yeah.
They spent money on it because actually some of the stuff that they did was all practical effects. It would have been expensive to do. But I would have freed myself from the whole Jaws premise and made a fucking story that fucking beat Jaws. Sharknado beats Jaws in a certain way, but some crazy shit like that could not happen until CG happened, because there's just no way to do that with practical effects. But still, there's the example. There was a demand for shark movies. I would have filled it. The Italians tried to, but they just couldn't.
Well, theirs were just all Jaws ripoffs.
They were Jaws ripoffs.
Which, to be fair, like Oscar pointed out, Jaws is one of the greatest films ever. So it's not like you're really going to top it necessarily.
No, not in Spielberg's way. No. Spielberg always brought a certain amount of magic, especially when he was in his prime. You could feel that it was a Spielberg movie. And that was really kind of what made Jaws 1 great, is that even though it was in a way a horror movie, there was an American middle-class positivity to that movie, like an acceptability. It was like American ethno-national propaganda in a certain way. It was like, this is America, and we got a shark. Yeah, it's just like that. It's just the way that was.
Well, I would argue, too, that one of the things that made the first Jaws great, other than being really scary and, like, the suspense being really good and everything like that, was it had great characters.
Yeah.
Like, the characters were all interesting.
Right.
They all, like, I really liked, like, the interaction between them. And it's just kind of like, so you enjoyed hanging out with the characters even when no one was getting eaten by sharks.
Right. Well, that's kind of going back to exactly what I said. There was something about the genius of Spielberg and the tone that he could set. This goes back to fucking Close Encounters of the Third Kind or whatever. He could put America and the American people and the American culture center stage. Like it's the place to be. And fucking you can relate to it and fucking we're having a great time. And there was something about Spielberg. He was just good. He'd have made a great propagandist. Okay. Because there is a certain feeling like you're watching American propaganda. But it's entertainment, though. You know what I mean? It's fucking great. It's just... There's a lot of great directors, but I'm going to say that fucking Spielberg, when he was running strong, Spielberg is my favorite director. and I think a lot of people would agree with me. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that it kind of felt like propaganda, but it was feel good type shit. Even when the subject was bad, you still felt good about it. There's just something about it. Lucas, an idea man. Spielberg was a feeling man. He understood how to fucking tell a story. I can watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind today and still feel like I'm seeing that movie for the first time and vibe in with the characters.
Yeah.
It's just like what happens
in Jaws. Well,
like
I said, I think that's one of his main strengths.
Yeah.
Is that he's really good at establishing characters that you give a shit about.
Yeah.
And that you want to...
You're relating to them.
...watch and that you want... And that you can relate to.
They're like you. They have the same problems and they're fucking trying to do shit. And it's the American setting. And I remember what it was like back... Even though that's my fucking dad's generation. But I still... Spielberg was really good. And that's what made Jaws 1 great. And the reason why Jaws... 2, 3, and 4 weren't that good because that's not Spielberg.
Yeah,
they were close, but
I said, the thing about it, and we've talked about this before, like anytime you're doing a sequel, you're taking the cool idea, the lightning in a bottle that made the first one so awesome. It's like this fresh idea that came out, and then you're just like doing more of that. So to an extent, it's going to be a retread.
Yeah,
and it's just kind of like it's too hard to sort of thread the needle between more of the same or going so far out there that like people are going to be turned off because it's not what they wanted.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like I said, the more you go on, like the more you have to demystify things.
Yeah,
it's like you have to go bigger, you have to go more impressive, and it's like a lot of times that takes away a lot of the appeal of the original. Yeah. So, because, you know, like I said, like Jaws, the original one, you saw the shark, but you didn't really see the shark until the end. And I know that that wasn't entirely on purpose, like most people know, because it was because the shark broke, so they didn't show it as much. But that ended up working in the movie's favor. Mm-hmm. But, like, the more it went on, they probably thought, well, we need it to be bigger. There need to be, like, more shark attacks. We need to see the shark more. We need the shark to explode again. We need, like, this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, the more that goes on, it just gets, like, stupider and stupider and more ridiculous. And it's just kind of, like, you know, diminishing returns. Like as it goes on. So by the time they got to Jaws the Revenge, basically they gave it to the guy. It's the same guy that directed, his name's Joseph Sargent.
He's a good director actually.
Yeah, he's the same guy that did White Lightning, the Burt Reynolds movie.
Yeah.
He did Nightmares, that horror anthology, which I still want to rewatch one of these days. He did The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. So basically they came to him and offered it to him and they said, hey, we need this movie in 9 months, start to finish.
Oh, man.
Which is nothing. There wasn't even a finished script yet.
That means pull it out your ass.
Pretty much. And he was, and they told him, they said, well, you can do whatever you want or whatever. And he's just like, okay, well, you guys need a miracle. I guess I can do it. So they did it. Like I said, they didn't even have a finished script. And he's like, well, what are we going to do like to make people want to sit through this shark shit again? I mean, he didn't say that, but like to get it, like to get it interesting. Yeah. So he's like, maybe we can add like magic. Like I said, like adds like a paranormal element, but I don't know if it was me. Like I said, I think that's a stupid idea. Now, if you really want to focus on the Brody family again, because it's like, you know, this is the family that everybody's followed through the whole thing. And it's kind of like the part of the franchise. If you really want to do it, this is what I would have done. And I just like totally pulled this out of my butt like 10 minutes ago. So if you really wanted the family to attack, or the family to attack the shark, well, you know, I guess that works too. But like the shark to attack the same family again, which like I said, you know, already like people are being like, no, that's, I mean, what are the odds? So I would have it that, you know, they got fucked up by sharks last time and they're like, all right, fuck this. We are moving to the Midwest where there is no ocean for thousands of miles. And then they get in a plane, either that or they're going like on a vacation somewhere, and then they get in a plane and the plane crashes into the ocean, and then they get washed up on like a deserted island, and then that's surrounded by sharks. Okay, at least that's not credible either, but at least it's more credible than, hey, I don't want to be around the water anymore. Oh, let's go to the Bahamas, which is fucking surrounded by water. Yeah. Oh, but great white sharks never come here. I'm like, give me a fucking break with that.
The idea that a shark would remember that or would know that its ancestors were attacked And now he has to fucking avenge himself against the descendants of the attackers. No, that would never happen.
And like I
sharks
said,
are mindless pea-brained creatures.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and like I said, if you're going to do that in a movie, yeah. lean into it, make yeah. it a comedy, make it ridiculous, yeah. make it like Sharknado or right. Ouija Shark or something. Yeah. Well, make it better than
Ouija Shark. Well, not Ouija Shark.
Make it better than Ouija Shark. Yeah. But I mean, that was, only a, good, the premise that was of, a good idea.
Only the premise of Ouija Shark was good.
I mean, they fucked it up because it yeah. cost like $1.50 to make.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry you guys, but it's just, nah. it was a good idea though. But the thing about it is that you just can't have a premise like that that's supposedly grounded in reality. And like I said, this is a completely serious movie. There's like, you know, the son like gets eaten like in the first 10 minutes or something like that. And then like for the whole rest of the movie, like Mrs. Brody is just like fucking crying and grieving and shit like that because her son got eaten by a shark. And we're supposed to take all of this seriously. But then on the other hand, we're supposed to believe that this particular shark, for whatever reason, because all the other sharks that fucked with them before are dead, because that's what happened at the end of all the other ones. But it's so, now we're supposed to believe that this shark that I guess is related to those, what other reason would he have? But like I said, I think it was supposed to be like a voodoo curse. Like a voodoo, they pissed off some voodoo priest or something like that. And he's like, bitch, I'm going to make a shark like come after you or something like that. Which like I said, that's stupid too, but at least it gives it like some kind of, at least it gives it some kind of, like, reason. There's no reason that this shark swims all the way down to the Bahamas and goes after this one particular family. Mm. There's just no reason. And there's no reason for her to have a psychic link with the shark, like, to no. know what it's doing. And that to know that the shark, like, immediately after her son gets eaten, she knows, oh, it's targeting him specifically, like, it came after
it
him
It just starts to go down the same road as the Exorcist fucking franchise, where it kind of gets ridiculous up until fucking until it's really not the Exorcist anymore, and it actually gets better when it's not the Exorcist anymore. What was that? Exorcist 3, I think, or 4?
3. The one with George C. Scott.
With George C. Scott.
Brad Dourif.
That was a good. That's more of just another movie.
Because that's kind of, well, it kind of, it had some Exorcist-y shit in it, but it was more like a serial killer,
it's like its own
psychological horror type of thing, which I think was a better way to go.
Because you're now freeing yourselves from the limitations of Exorcist 1, okay? You're just saying, this is related to that, but not quite, okay?
Yeah, it's just kind of off on a little side mission.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, if you wanted to do that, there's ways to do that, but it's just kind of like, going from completely grounded in reality shark attack movies and then jumping into essentially paranormal, you know, waters.
Yeah.
Not a great idea. It just, like, came too much out of someone's ass and they didn't really think it through completely. I mean, you know, to be fair to them, they didn't really have a lot of time to come up with something. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll give them that.
And the generation of guys that made this movie, they were coming out of the 60s and the 70s, where the paranormal was fucking something that universities were talking about. So they're like, oh yeah, she can predict when it happens, no problem, because it's been established in other movies. It's just, it was a movie of its time. But really, it's, when I think about it, kind of retro. This is 87.
Yeah,
I was graduating this year.
Yeah, and I was in high school.
Yeah,
was I in high school?
Yeah, 88. You were in high school?
No, I was in my last year of junior high.
Okay.
I would have started, although the weird thing about this, and somebody brought this up just now, all the other Jaws movies were like summer movies and came out in the summer, and I think this one did too, but this one is inexplicably set at Christmas time.
Yeah.
So this is technically a Christmas movie.
Christmas
in the Bahamas. It's
I graduated very, it's very this year, weird. I would have laughed at this. I'd have been like,
everybody kind of laughed at it, even in 1987.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes, this has 0%. I looked.
It's not that bad.
I've seen way worse. I've been in the trenches of shitty movies, okay?
Yeah, so it's just kind
of, I'm into Mystery Science Theater. I have seen like the worst of the worst. I have seen, and actually I've even seen a lot of movies that were too bad to go on Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
There are way shittier movies than Jaws the Revenge.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
And Jaws the Revenge, at least
it's better than 3.
It is a lot better than 3. I would argue that it's better than 3.
Yeah.
But like I said, part three was a decent idea, at least for as far as sequels go, but it was just really poorly executed. Like I said, the special effects were shit. It was just kind of like, it wasn't great.
Had you taken this movie and taken the Jaws name off of it and made it an all-new shark movie, they would have liked it better. They would have liked it better.
Because it would, because you'd be establishing a new mythology.
A new mythology.
You wouldn't have, it's like, oh, in this movie universe, you know, people have magical shark sense.
Yeah, and
particular
sharks
are
your ass.
Super smart and shit like that.
Yeah.
What was that one movie? Shit, there was actually a shark movie that had, like, super intelligent sharks. But it was explained in universe. What the fuck was the name of that thing? I know I saw it. It wasn't great, but it was all right. But it was, I think there was more than one, now that I'm thinking about it. But it was explained as, like, they were experimenting on sharks, so they were, like, more intelligent than normal. So, like I said, that's all you'd have to do is do some shit like that. Like you said, because it was Jaws, people didn't buy it, because it's like, look, none of this nonsense happened in the other Jaws movies.
And it's Jaws
what are you trying to pull?
About? Right,
You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have psychic links with the sharks.
No.
Like, the shark isn't coming to get you, and it, like, swims 1,200 miles in 3 days.
I would have never called this Jaws.
Yeah.
Which would have freed you up to write other
Deep Blue Sea, thank you. That's what
And it would have freed them up to write a script that didn't have to conform to the Jaws universe. And the movie would have been good. Would have been good.
Danny Rowling said, Tom put on the curly Michael Caine wig.
Now I'm trying to get me to fucking...
You should have thought of that before we started.
I don't have time for that kind of shit, man. The show's almost over to try to get me to put wigs on so fucking late.
We haven't even talked about Michael Caine, like, in this movie. I actually do like Michael Caine.
Michael Caine was drunk in this movie, playing a drunk Michael Caine, and he did it by getting drunk.
Method acting.
Okay. I'm looking. He's in a scene where he's supposed to be drunk at the fucking club and shit, and I'm looking at Jenny and he goes, that motherfucker is drunk.
He's actually drunk.
That motherfucker is drunk. And he
verisimilitude.
Yeah. Because Caine knew how to live in the movie industry. Make sure they fucking put you up in a good hotel. You have all this fucking, you know what I mean? You make sure everything's air conditioned.
He got to have a vacation in the Bahamas.
That's right.
Shooting his
movie. Right. You had to make sure that they take care of all this shit and that you can drink while you're on the job. And fucking, you know. Caine was a good, fucking great British actor who was a gift to America. There's a lot of British actors that fucking did very well in American movies. And the British actors were better than a lot of your American actors because, you know, they have a better theatrical heritage. They go to acting school and actually learn how to act, you know, do Shakespeare and shit like that. And that's not really how American actors happen. American actors
not usually. No. I feel like the best American actors are usually ones that start out on the stage.
Yeah, right. They start off on Broadway or something, you know, and then they
not can... always. I mean, that's a very broad
Your
statement.
Your average
but...
American actor starts off in an orgy or a cocaine deal. That's fucking really where those bitches fucking kind of come into the who's screwing who and who's got drugs, and that's how you get into the fucking acting business in old Hollywood. But no, the British always brought a lot of skill to the table. And fucking Caine was fucking, he's a legend. I grew up watching that motherfucker. I was scared of him as a kid because he there was a certain underlying hostility underneath him. I could see, I think he first made an impression on me in the Oliver Stone movie, The Hand, which, you know, if you're a listener, regular listener to the show, I talk about The Hand all the time. And The Hand was a deep flick, very deep, horror movie. And Michael Caine was always very impressive to me. And in this movie, he's coasting through it. He's just
well, this was during the era where... Yeah. Well, I don't know if I want to say that, because he was in some good shit. He won some Oscars right around this time, but... this was one of his what they call his paycheck pictures.
It's a paycheck picture.
And he didn't really give a shit. Like I said, he's like, hey, I get to go to the Bahamas, and he's not like he's a main character, but he's not like, you know, in a lot of the scenes. He's kind of like a supporting character, and you know, and he just gets to have a good time. And honestly, he said one of his famous quotes. I think this is even on Wikipedia. Was that he's like, yeah, it was like a fun movie to shoot or whatever. And he's just kind of like, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, I've never seen the movie, but I've heard it's terrible. But I see the house that it bought me, which is fantastic. You know
what
I mean?
That's all I care about.
And he's just like, basically, yeah, it bought a house. And the thing about it too was that the In 1986, he was in the movie Hannah and Her Sisters, and he got an Oscar for that, like, for Best Supporting Actor, and he couldn't go to California to pick up the Oscar because he was in the Bahamas shooting this.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of funny.
I totally agree with you, Michael Caine. That's how I would have played fucking 80s fucking Hollywood also.
I mean, he never watched it. He just did it, like, to get paid.
Get paid. Get paid by the house. And, then he ended up in the Batman series, knocked it out of the motherfucking
park. That's what I mean. Okay. You know what kind of makes me sad,
The best Alfred.
Yeah.
It was Michael Caine.
You know what kind of makes me sad, though, is that, you know, I mean, Michael Caine, like, obviously, like, jumped back from it. And like I said, he was in good movies around the same time this came out, too. So it's not like he was just, like, in a bunch of schlock.
Yeah.
Sadly, though, this, I think, was Lorraine Gary's last movie. Mm. Now, she said that she was very excited to work with Michael Caine, and she said that he was just a really, really nice person.
Well, he was a professional.
Yeah. She said he was, like, a super, super nice person. Yeah. But I will say that he's...
It was Michael Caine.
The character in this, he's just kind of, like, he's, like, flying the plane, right?
Yeah.
And then he's kind of, like, going after the mom later on. So it's, like, she's, like, the romantic interest. He... flies the plane. What? He lets the little girl fly the plane. He's like, oh, we're gonna crash. You better do it. I'm like, motherfucker, if you did that when I was in a plane, I would be really, really upset. And then, like, when he gets Mrs. Brody up in the plane, he's like, I'm just gonna sit here and do that. Yeah. I'm gonna let you crash in the ocean. You better fucking fly. And again, I'd be like, look, I'm punching your left.
As a 53-year-old American, the two greatest British actors that influenced my generation, you know what I mean, and me personally, was fucking Michael Caine and Oliver Reed. Those two motherfuckers right there, boy, they were legends. Both of them, you could tell they were fucking drunk. Okay.
Yeah, well.
Oliver Reed scared the shit out of me, man. He just did. He was, but so did Michael Caine. They scared me, but I liked them. They were, in a lot of the roles that I remembered them from, they were one or two drinks away from beating your ass. Okay. They were kind of intimidating guys. And I liked them, though. Fucking. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you shouldn't scare small children. No, scare small children. They fucking love it. They grow up and remember all kinds of shit. But Michael Caine and The Hand and the fucking The Island. Oh, man, I was very impressed.
I mean, you have to,
and
like,
Oliver Reed.
All kids are the same, but most kids, me included,
I love being scared.
Really, really like scary movies.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Anything. And even, like, movies for kids that had scary shit in them, like stuff like, you know, like The Dark Crystal and stuff like that. Man, I was all about that when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Danny Rowling said, what's tomorrow's A Haunting episode going to be when you get a chance? I'm not actually sure because I think I have 4 or 5 episodes
we're gonna watch it tonight,
that you guys have recommended. So it might be maybe Darkness Follows or Echoes from the Past or maybe Legend Trippers. I don't know. Like there's a couple ones that people have recommended. So we haven't decided yet. But I was going to say, does Hoagie, a.k.a. Michael Caine's character, survive in the film? Yeah, everybody does. There's a great scene, and even, like, Roger Ebert pointed this out, like, back in 1987 when this movie came out.
Yeah.
So, Michael Caine, he lands in the ocean, like, in the plane, because they go out there to get, it's a long story, he goes out there to get Mrs. Brody, because she's gone out in the boat with no weapons or anything, like, to feed herself to the shark and, like, hope he chokes on her. I don't really know what the fuck her plan was. But so, anyway, he goes out there in the plane, they land the plane in the water, and then, like, the shark comes and, like, tries to eat the plane, so for a little while, you're like, oh, no, Michael Caine's dead, or whatever. And then, but he's like, oh, no, I'm fine. You know, whatever, just without explaining anything. And he climbs up over the side of the boat, and his fucking shirt is completely dry. It's like, all they had to do was, like, hose him down for a second. Seriously.
Oscar Perez is in there saying, who would be afraid of fucking Michael Caine? You know what I mean? Fucking, you know, Oliver Reed, yeah, but not Michael Caine. See the Oliver Stone movie, The Hand, and then you'll understand. I was fucking terrified of fucking Michael Caine. Michael Caine was, and Michael Caine played other roles too. He played assassins and shit in some of the British movies. Michael Caine could play a bad guy. There is a very sinister undertone to Michael Caine's delivery in a lot of shit, especially if you've seen The Hand.
Yeah, I mean, he usually plays, like, really good bad guys, I think.
Who does what?
He plays really good bad guys.
Really good bad guys. And a dude who's just fucking insane. See The Hand, and you'll understand. Really good. And that's a really good writing in The Hand.
But another thing, too, that was kind of fucked up is, okay, the end of this... So Mario Van Peebles, look, I mean, he legit gets eaten, okay? He gets eaten at the end of this fucking movie, all right? The shark comes out. Well, he's trying to put the whatever technology doodad, like, in the shark's stomach. And, of course, he has to go right to the end of, like, the bow of the boat or whatever. And he's, like, putting it down there with a pole. And then, like, a dumbass falls, like, directly into the shark's mouth. The shark, like, chomps down, goes down in the water, shit like that. You're like, okay, that motherfucker's dead. There's blood everywhere. He, it looked like he got bitten in half, okay? So then, later on, like, after I was like, oh, no, fucking the fake Jamaican is dead. But there's that whole thing. But then, like, a few minutes later, he kind of comes swimming back, and he's not fine, but he's, like, fine enough to be, like, fine. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, bitch, you got bitten in half. I saw that shit, okay? Like, you don't see it, but it looked like he got bitten in half, right? So I kind of feel like what happened was that maybe the original ending, I'm not entirely positive about this, but I think the original ending had him just like, oh, well, that dude's fucking dead. But then, like, test audiences were like, no, we like the fake Jamaican. We like that guy. So they had to, like, make it so he survived. So that seems a little implausible. I'm just going to say it seems really implausible, considering, like, what they showed and, like, how... Like, he would have bled out. I'm sorry. He would have bled out. He looks like he was just... The shark had him in the mouth, like that, like in the middle, and there was blood everywhere, and he went down, and then it was, like, a long time. And then, like, oh, finally, he's, oh, I'm fine. I'm just like, that's bullshit right there. You were dead. So, you know, die. But it, so there was that. And also, I think the original ending was, you know, they had, like, the... What the fuck was that thing where they had, like, two of the... They look like flashlights, to be honest, and it's probably what they were. But they were supposed to, like, piss the shark off by making some kind of frequency that the shark didn't like or something. So they had one in his tummy, and then they had one on the boat. And then... So when they turned that one on, it, like, would go boop-boop, like, in the shark's stomach, and then the shark would be like, no! And then it would roar, which sharks don't roar, okay, but whatever. They don't even have, like, vocal cords. So it's like, roar! And I'm just like, come on!
Yeah, but it's got to roar for the boobies.
It sounded like a fucking, it sounded like a cartoon dinosaur.
It
sounded like a cartoon dinosaur, like, roar! I was just like, stop it! Sharks don't make that noise. So... But he's just like, it's so funny though, like when you see the shark come out of the water, like, yeah. It's like, I just laugh my ass off. But yeah, so it does that, and then, like, it comes to the boat, and I think in the original ending, like, they just speared it, like, with the bow thingy, like, on the end of the boat, right? And they impaled it, and then, like, it thrashes around and starts dying, and then the boat kind of falls apart, and the people are like, oh, fuck, we don't have a boat anymore, and then, but the shark's dead, right? Yeah. Now, I think the test audiences didn't like that. I don't know if it was just because it didn't have enough oomph or it was too implausible. So they said, well, let's make it even more implausible. We'll have the thing impale the shark, but then it will blow up for no reason.
Yeah.
Why does the shark blow up? And then they don't even do... It's bad
enough...
There was
something he had on the end of that dam. I thought...
No, it wasn't. It wasn't an explosive. It
wasn't explosive? Okay.
But see, if he wanted to make the shark explode, mm-hmm. then why don't you have that be an explosive? Yeah. It wasn't. It was just some kind of thing that, like, was like a frequency type thing that was, like, pissing the shark off.
They're in there fucking with me about fucking watching the hand and shit. And Oscar's going, okay, I'm going to watch the hand. And fucking somebody else said that I should be a promoter. If you want to understand, watch the hand. Okay, yeah. Oscar, watch the hand. It's an Oliver Stone movie. Okay, in his early years.
What was it, 78?
Yeah, it's a great horror movie about fucking...
Or no, maybe it was early 80s.
We're not sure if it's about psychokinesis or just insanity or whatever. And it's Michael Caine. And it's during the time when Oliver Stone is working with John Milius coming up with this script for Conan 1. Okay? And Michael Caine plays an artist who is drawing... a cartoon that's kind of like Conan. But Kane is the exact opposite of the fucking... the masculine morality that's in Conan 1. It's toxic masculinity. Not fucking... And the hand is about a motherfucker who has internalized toxic masculinity to the maximum. Okay? Which is the opposite of Conan. Conan is not toxic masculinity. It's fucking positive masculinity. Okay? So just see the movie. You'll understand. You'll understand it. It's a great movie. And Forgotten. I got that bitch on fucking DVD.
It is a little bit forgotten.
And I had to order it special.
I remembered it because it scared the shit out of me. Because I saw it when I saw it as a kid and it scared the shit out of me.
Right.
Well, I think the main thing that scared me about it is because when I was a kid, and even now, like not so much nowadays, but when I was a kid, one of the things that scared me the most was heads and limbs getting cut off. Mm. Like that really, really bothered me a lot. Like, but I still wanted to see it, but I thought it was really scary. So like the whole scene in The Omen where David Warner gets his head taken off by the pane of glass, that used to scare the crap out of me. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That used to stress me out so much. So because of the hand, like he gets his hand cut off and then like that whole scene made me keep my hands and arms inside the car at all times. Like after that,
the hand is almost like a Cronenberg movie. Similar, better. I don't want to say better. Different. Different.
Stop eating the table, Pookie.
Stop chewing on the fucking table, Pookie.
She's eating the furniture.
Yeah.
She's eating the furniture.
Yeah.
Oscar said, damn, Jenny, do that roar again. Yeah. The fucking shark. Yeah. It's so great, though. We were watching it again last night, and it's like, I didn't even feel that good, but I was like watching the movie, and I just like busted up laughing. Because you can kind of see the shark, like they, because like I said, they have the flashlighty doodad, like whatever technology that is supposed to be, like I guess it's pissing the shark off, like it's some kind of like frequency that's coming from inside its belly that's relating to this other flashlighty thing that they have. So they do it, like they turn it on, and then like far away you see the little sharks like come out of the water, and he's like, and I was just kind of like, oh my God, that's so fucking great. But yeah, so I was gonna say that after the shark inexplicably explodes, there's nothing explosive.
I thought there was some explosive.
There wasn't. No, you're thinking of the first movie, because in the first movie
where
he goes, smile, you son of a bitch, and then like, which is so fucking great.
Okay.
Oh, and that's another thing. They actually show that scene with, you know, with Brody from the original movie, like with the gun going, smile, you son of a bitch, and then like shooting it. But they play it like a flashback that Ellen is having. Ellen, that's her name, right? Mrs. Brody, that she's having. She wasn't there. She didn't see that.
Yeah.
Like, how is she having a flashback to shit she didn't see?
Another thing that was fucking awesome is that they blow up the shark, and then the Jamaican dudes who obviously showed you get swallowed by the shark floats to the surface.
I was just going on a whole rant about that while you were in the bathroom.
So you saved him like Jonah in the whale? What happened?
That bitch got bit in half. It looked like he got bit in half.
Yeah. I liked it, though. That shit was fucking hilarious. It's like, we're going to bring... You liked this character. We're going to bring
him. That's what I said. I said everybody was like, no, we like the Famaican.
They saved him. They saved him.
Famaican.
The Famaican. The fake Jamaican.
Like I said, I guess he's a Bahamian, but...
Let an African-American be an African-American, okay? They should have made that motherfucker from Detroit. And it would have been even more effective, okay?
Actually probably would have been better,
It would have been better, yeah.
But that's... Well, see, that's the thing. So then... Yeah, so she's having flashbacks to shit she didn't see, right? So, I mean, in the first movie, he made the shark, like, swallow, like, an explosive, like, oxygen tanks or something like that, which is explosive, and then he shot into the shark's mouth, so it blew it up. So, you know, they've done that, and I know they've done it on Mythbusters. That doesn't really happen, okay? But at least it's, like, plausible. This one, there was no explosive anything, like, at any point in this chain of events, so there's no reason why the shark should have exploded. So it's bad enough they made the shark explode when there was no reason for it to explode, but the shot they showed of the, like, blowed up shark, like, floating down in the water, that was the same exact, they stole the footage from the first movie.
From the first one? Yeah.
It was the same exact, I saw, like, a video that showed them right side by side. I'm like, that is the exact same footage. Those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, to be fair, they did only have 9 months. And it's not just 9 months to, like, make... I mean, 9 months to write the script, do the pre-production, do the actual filming, do the post-production. Like, 9 months, it has to be out. And they said all the other Jaws movies took, like, 2 years. Okay? So that's what the comparison we have.
Made quickly.
So they're... So they're just like, well, what footage do we have that we can recycle and maybe nobody will notice because it's been, like, a bunch of years. But nowadays, everybody notices because everybody, like, picks that shit apart. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, man. It's fun to watch. Although I will say that a lot of the drama, like I know what they were going for. They were trying to go back to the character drama from the first movie. But it wasn't like real effective. Like a lot of the character stuff they did in it was either really boring or bizarre. Like what was up with like with the son, Michael, and the wife, and her being, like, the weird conversations they had. Like, what was the, about the whole fight about him taking out the garbage, and then she was going to, like, singe his face off with a blowtorch. Yeah, like, what was that all about?
I don't know. There was stuff in this movie where I was getting bored.
I think a lot of the character stuff. I mean, the characters, and it's fine. Like, the actors were fine. Yeah. I think a lot of it was, like, the writing and the concept. Yeah. You know, I'm not shitting on the actors, because actually all the actors did a good job.
A lot of it seemed to be filler.
It did. Yeah. It did. And that's, like I said, that's, I get what they were going for, because the first Jaws movie actually did have a lot of character drama. There was a lot of stuff that, you know, that wasn't the shark. That was a lot of the characters interacting.
And it wasn't bad filler. It was actually pretty good the way it was filmed. And what. But the thing is, you didn't care. This is not really pertinent to this fucking shark story.
Right.
They're trying to give you some shark action. You didn't come for a romance. You didn't come for all this other shit.
Yeah, I didn't need the whole thing about, like, their like, the Michael and his wife, like, their weird thing. And I didn't really need the romance between Michael Caine and Mrs. and Brody's widow. I didn't really need that. Like, that wasn't too much of that. It was fine. But a lot of the character stuff just wasn't that interesting. And, like I said, I'm not shitting on the actors, because the actors all did fine. But it was just kind of like that. A lot of it just didn't need to be in there. Jeffy Art said that roar was a stock sound I heard from many cartoons in the 80s.
Probably.
Watch any episode of Classic He-Man. It did kind of sound familiar, to be honest. Like I said, it was just one of those ones that... Just one of those ones that, well, we need to cobble this movie together as quickly as possible. And like I said, it did make money. Yeah. I think it only cost $25-30 million to make, and it made like $60 million back. So it did make its money back.
It did what they were supposed to do.
So it did what it was supposed to do. So nothing was learned. You know what I mean? They're like, hey, it was shitty, but everyone shit on it. Like I said, even back at the time, everybody shit on it. It got zero good reviews. Now, I did see one. I was watching a couple other reviews of it earlier. And most people were just like having like a good time, because it's ridiculous. But there was one guy that kind of made a good point. He's like, I'm not saying this is a good movie. He's like, you know, it's not. It's like, it has a ridiculous premise and all this other stuff. He's like, but I would argue that it is worth watching, because he's like, it's leaning into the premise that he's like, the first Jaws movie, it's like, it's not usually sold like this, but the first Jaws movie is absolutely a monster movie. But they're trying to sell it as kind of like, you know, it's nature run amok kind of thing. He's like, this movie is just taking that premise, hey, it's a monster movie, and just like putting that out there. He's like, obviously this is a monster. It's a, you know, yeah, it's a shark. It happens to be a shark. But it's also intelligent, and it can do all these other things. It kind of has magic powers like a little bit too. So he's like, so it's almost kind of, if you kind of watch it in that vein, then it's not quite as ridiculous.
It should have never been a Jaws movie.
But like I said, I think it would have been better received if it wasn't a Jaws movie. Yeah. It didn't already have an established franchise that was all based in reality. When you're going off into paranormal magic directions, then people aren't going to buy it. Like I said, if you'd started a new thing that had its own mythology, then I don't think anyone would have complained.
Right, it would have been better.
I mean, people would have still complained. I'm not saying there's never a situation on earth where someone doesn't complain.
Maybe it wouldn't have made as much money, but
It probably wouldn't have, because I mean, Jaws was artistically the big name.
Artistically, it'd have been better not as a Jaws movie.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. So we should be good, huh? That's all I gotta say.
Oh, what I was gonna say too was that I saw on the Wikipedia page, and actually hadn't heard about this, but I don't know if it's ever going ahead. Steven Spielberg a couple years back said that he actually wanted to do a Jaws prequel that was about Quint and about the USS Indianapolis.
That'd have been much better. Yeah.
And actually, the guy, like Robert Shaw, the guy that played Quint, I mean, he's dead now, but his grandson said he wanted to be in the movie as young Quint.
Oh, I'd see it.
And then they were going to do the whole thing about, you know, him, like the story that he told about the USS Indianapolis.
Like a doll's eye.
Yeah, like Steven Spielberg said he'd be interested in doing that. Yeah. So I don't know. So it's going to be like Jaws 5, I guess, but it's going to be like a prequel.
No, I wouldn't call it Jaws at all.
No, I wouldn't either, probably. Yeah. But, I mean, if everybody knew that
everybody
it was
knows
part,
what it is.
Would know what it was.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, that shit. Quint.
Yeah.
Man, myth, legend.
Or, like a doll's eye.
Like a doll's eye. I'd watch that shit.
I mean, shit, man. Well, yeah. Quint is such a character that...
Well, he kind of made that movie, let's be honest.
I mean, he did.
Let's be honest.
I mean, I like everybody in that movie. Like, Richard Dreyfuss is great in it. Like, they're all Roy Scheider was great in
it. But Quint really...
I mean, the interaction between those three guys in particular was just fantastic. Yeah. That was one of the best things about that movie, I thought. Right. Like, other than, like, all the suspense.
Yeah, it wasn't as shark-driven as you people think it was.
It's really not. It's a lot of character.
A lot of it had to do with fucking Quint.
Which, like I said, I think that's what Jaws the Revenge was trying to do, go back to that character drama, which worked so well in the first movie, but they just didn't have enough time. Right. The premise was stupid, and it was just kind of like they didn't... I get what they were going for, and I respect that, but it was just kind of like they should have had more time to work on it, I feel like to workshop some other ideas other than psychic shark senses and fucking... revenge-based animals. It's just, it's not a good idea. All right, so so tonight we're going to pick probably one of the haunting episodes that I mentioned earlier. Not sure which one yet, whichever one we feel like watching whenever we sit down to watch some shit. And so tomorrow will be a Haunting Mondays, so that should be super fun. So be sure to come and see us tomorrow. And thanks for hanging out with us today. Have a good rest of your weekend, you guys. And we will see you guys again tomorrow evening. Bye.